It's the Central Pittsburgh. I'm Kevin Gavin, sitting in for Paul Guggenheimer, and we're discussing the decision in Ferguson, Missouri, of a grand jury not to charge a police officer with the shooting death of 18-year-old Michael Brown. And that decision has been made. Our guest, David Harris, University of Pittsburgh law professor. David, I have one more question for you, and that is, yes, there's an ongoing federal investigation, but really, what are the chances of charges being filed in violation of civil rights?
Chances are low because the federal standard is higher than the state law standard. Just like the state law, you have to prove use of force was excessive, but the federal government would also have to prove that the use of excessive force was done with the purpose of depriving the victim of their civil rights. That is a really, really high standard in the law. Most of the cases, the great majority of cases that the federal government and the Department of Justice investigate in terms of police violence, they prosecute very, very few because it is so hard to prove these cases. They just don't go to court on them very often. So I'd say the chances are against a federal prosecution for violation of civil rights. There is a federal civil investigation pending of the police department itself, but that's different.
Yes. All right. Thank you, David. Now, the media and social media have been getting criticized for their role in the Ferguson, Missouri case, where the grand jury decided no criminal charges would be filed. Joining us now to talk about the role of the media and social media is Jeff Ritter. Jeff is the chair of the Department of Communications at La Roche College. Jeff, welcome back to Central Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
All right. So why the media and social media getting criticized? Now, that's a two-part question.
Well, it's always easy to criticize media and blame media for lots of things. It's a common procedure that happens with any of these high-profile events in the United States. I mean, even last night saying, well, the media is focusing on violence that's going to happen or may happen at the end when the results of the grand jury come out. Well, that's what they would do. There's got to be if there's something going to happen, that's what people want to see, and they're not going to be focusing on something not happening. So that's pretty common.
The prosecuting attorney, Mr. McCullough, in that news conference ripped the media, saying, quote, "The most significant challenge for his office was a 24-hour news cycle and an insatiable appetite for something, for anything to talk about," end quote. So is it the media that's driving the public interest or the public's appetite for information specifically about this case that drove the media to pursue it?
No, I think it's always some of both. You know, the media is always – every outlet of any kind that wants listeners, wants viewers is going to try to feed some of what they want. And obviously people are interested in the case. This shows a great, you know, interest in a national discussion, Twitter and Facebook too, and all the social media. It all shows that there's a huge interest in having a national discussion about these issues when these kinds of events happen, and we should have them. But it is a feeding frenzy for 24-hour news and cable, and they are relentlessly promoting, even when nothing is happening, just to get the viewers on edge about things. And that is, I believe, that is true.
Social media can help spread the word quickly and broadly. But sometimes, I'm going to say inaccurately, but maybe just at a surface level. So is there the potential for it to multiply problems?
I think it is. And if you look at the Twitter feed right now at the hashtag Ferguson, it's exploding. Every 20 tweets every second are coming out. And you've certainly got to put on your own filter to decide what to read and what to believe. It's an enabler. It's an enabler of communication. And what we found out now is, everybody wants to communicate. Everybody's got something to say, and everybody wants their viewpoint out there. Some put on Twitter, let John Stewart handle this. You're not going to be more clever or more insightful than he is, was one comment that I saw that I liked. But it is an enabler for this national conversation, but you do have to provide your own filter and don't believe everything. And the best thing is to find the feeds, the opinion leaders, the people you respect, you trust, and follow them. Don't follow everybody. Don't follow a hashtag because you'll get too much that's really useless noise.
So what did we do, we media, do right? What did we do wrong in this whole case from August on? And is the right like this small and the wrong this big?
Well, it really, the case in Ferguson really wasn't in national media until Twitter exploded and brought it to national attention. So that's a good thing. National media is paying attention to what people are really writing about, really concerned about, and that's an amazing thing to be able to bring that up, to filter up from the grassroots today to get something on a national scale. And so all the media outlets, I think, did a good job of paying attention. This is what people want to know about. People of all different perspectives want to find out what's going on in this case, and they're following it in relentless detail. I don't think they did a good job of explaining what a grand jury is, what they do, how their perspective is different from the everyday person. And I just came from a class and asked the students, you know, who understands grand juries, and very few of a group of, you know, 18, 19, 20-year-olds really understood. Do they have an opinion? Yes, they have an opinion, but it should be more educated than that.
Which our guest David Harris, Pitt Law Professor, was explaining earlier in the program. David, you were nodding there about exploding over social media, et cetera.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The case really came to full prominence when it was picked up by social media first. And before that, the national media had not really covered it much. Then came the incident in which the police actually harassed, arrested, and even brutalized a couple of reporters. That will push it onto the national media if nothing else does. So those two things together did. And on the question of grand juries, if you went to my class, we covered that. And they are well educated, as they will tell you.
Yeah.
All right. Mine
know now about it.
Mine are law students, so yeah, it's only fair.
We're undergraduates. So, but the Twitter and Facebook, Instagram, all the social media. The feed wasn't started by social media. It was started by people who were on it and who have a lot of followers and listeners and viewers to their feeds. And that's what can get something when it holds an interest, when it grabs people and it's trusted. Then that's what can get a national discussion started.
Speaking of national discussion, 30 seconds left, Jeff, and those are yours. And that is, do we ever learn from these lessons about what went right, what went wrong, whether it's on, quote, mainstream media or social media?
Yeah, I think so. I think the coverage is always evolving. I think reporters, I mean, Brian Williams is going to be in Ferguson tonight. That means he sees it and NBC sees this is a significant issue for Americans, and we're going to explore it in more depth. And they're continuing to use the feeds as well. Yes, I think that we're continuing to learn and people are doing a good job.
Well, thank you very much. And we have a quick another question. How much media content were the jurors, the grand jurors, allowed to be exposed to media content?
Well, they were not sequestered. Usually in a trial jury, the judge says no media about this case. Don't discuss it with anyone. A grand jury is different. It only makes a probable cause determination. So they were not sequestered. They may have been exposed to social media too. I don't know the answer.
So maybe they but they still get the up close front face-to-face experience with the material and the witnesses, and that's stronger than any media.
I would like to thank our guests, David Harris, University of Pittsburgh Law Professor, and Jeff Ritter, Chairman of the Department of Communications at La Roche College. Thank you, gentlemen.
No problem.
My pleasure.
And that's Essential Pittsburgh for this Tuesday. Special thanks to all of our guests and to producer Marcus Charleston and assistant producer Heather McLean. I'm Kevin Gavin, filling in for Paul Guggenheimer. Thanks for listening.